And today I'm going to be talking about the meaning of love. We have taken the word love very lightly in our everyday lives. Today our society throws the word love around like an old dirty rag with no usefulness. Love is now what we feel. Love is what we practice and exercise daily. When we feel love within us, we feel the byproduct of love, because unless we work at it and exercise it, that feeling of love eventually grows cold. This is what the world has to offer us. How many girlfriends or boyfriends have you had in your life that you stated, "Oh, this one's a keeper. I'm so in love with it. Our love will last forever." But as you two hit some rough spots in the road, it becomes, "Well, I guess they were not the ones for me." So you bail out of that relationship. But most of the time we bail out because we choose to bail out. It's either to bail than work hard and exercise that love we once had. We see this daily in relationships and marriages and friendships. I will attempt to bring out the love God intends for us to have and exercise daily and show you how the world loves and how God loves. We use that word so many times without meaning. We will say to our mother or father, "I love you, Mom," or "I love you, Dad." And usually when we are leaving or about to disconnect from one form or another, we tell our children and our grandchildren that we love them, and so we must do this because it gives them a good feeling that someone loves them, or we do it out of habit. Have you ever stopped and thought about what that four-letter word means? The world's love is a failing love. We see it every day. We see it in failed marriages, failing families, failing friendships. It's all around us. This world can only offer a love that it will fail, betray you, and hurt you. So what does the word love mean? And how may I have a love that will never hurt or betray me? Because I sure don't see it around me. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13, verse 1 says, let's start with verse 1. "I may speak in tongues of men and angels, but if I lack love, I have become a mere blaring glass or cymbal clang. I may have the gift of prophecy. I may fathom all mysteries, know all things, have all faith, enough to move mountains. But if I lack love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I own, and I may even hand over my body to be burned. But if I lack love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind, not jealous, not boastful, not proud, not rude or selfish, not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongdoings." Did you hear what I just said, what I just read? I'll read that again. It's verse 5. Not proud. Let's talk about love. Love is not proud, rude, or selfish, not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not gloat over other people's sins, but takes it delight in truth. Love always bears up, always trusts, always hopes, always endures. Love never ends, but the prophecies will pass, tongues will cease, knowledge will pass. For our knowledge is partial, and our prophecy is partial. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, thought as a child, I argued like a child. Now that I have become a man, I finished the childish way. For now we see obscurely in a mirror, but then it will be face to face. I know partially. Then I will know fully, just as God has fully known me. But for now, three things last: trust, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Verse 1 through 13 gives the meaning of love. Love is a Bible mentions love often. The amount of times the word love is mentioned in the Bible depends on the translation of the Bible that you have. For example, the Old King James Version, love is mentioned 310 times. And the New American Standard Version, word love is mentioned 348 times. And the New International Version, the word love is mentioned 551 times. In the New Revised Standard Version, the word love is mentioned 538 times. In the New Living Translation, love is mentioned 898 times. The word charity means love. Appears 28 times in the New Testament, in the King James Version. Although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity, love. This love is an act of will. Love involves the heart in verse 1, the mind in verse 2, and the will in verse 3. Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Although we are to covet the best gifts earnestly, they are to be exercised in love. And only the Spirit of God can do that. Look at it this way. Right down the string is zero. Eloquent alone is zero. Prophecy alone is zero. Knowledge alone is zero. Faith alone is zero. Sacrifice alone is zero. Pardon alone is zero. Six zeros add up to nothing. But when you put a number one to the left of the string of zeros, and every zero amounts to something. And friend, love is a thing that needs to be added to every gift of the Spirit. Without love, the gift is worthless. Love is that number one that you need to put to the left of those zeros, to the left of those gifts. You need love in all of it. Fulfill the law through love. Fulfilling the law through love, I should say. Romans 13:8-14. And owe no man anything except to love each other. For the one that loves one another fulfills the law. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't covet. Any others are summed up in the one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not do harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fullness of the law. Beside this, know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now that we first believe. The night has gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make provision for the flesh to gratify its desire. Paul summed it all up in Romans 13:8-14. Why do friendships end? Because we lack true love. Why are we arguing and fighting all the time? And most of the times over meaningless and trivial things. It's because we lack true love. Why do marriages end? Why do brothers and sisters stop talking to each other? Why do parents disown their children? Because we lack true love. Why do nations rise against nations? Because we lack true love that only comes from God. The world lacks the true love that God intended for us to have and practice in our daily lives. If you like to quarrel, you lack love. Fighting and bickering should never be in a Christian's heart and life. Jealousy is a reason for many fights in our lives and has started. say, I stop talking because all the other person wants to do is argue. No place in the Bible says to stop talking to each other. God uses our mouths to communicate His good news. If a person is trying to argue, then change the subject. Say, I love you too much to argue with you. Walk away until things cool down, but keep the line of communications open. Most of the time, a lack of communication between both parties could lead to an argument. God gave us the tools needed to have a great relationship with if we only use them. And yes, He gave us a mouth and a voice to communicate God's love for us, so use it. One of God's greatest gifts to us is love. Because of God's love, He sent His Son to take on the form of man to be sacrificed on the cross for our sins. And through that love, we are spared from eternity of the lake of fire. Love is an action that we as Christians need to exercise in our lives. Love is something we need to work on all the time, 24/7, 365. No, it doesn't come easy. Why? Because Satan and his evil empire run the world. There is no love in Satan. He's incapable of loving anyone. He manifests this in our world today. He does not want you to love anyone and will do everything to stop it. But I have good news for you. Satan is a defeated foe. He was defeated when Christ died on the cross for our sin. He has no control over you that you do not permit him to have. You have to give Satan control. Yes, Satan controls you and all your situation because you enabled him to do so. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are God, are of God, little children, and have overcome them. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And what that verse means is greater is Christ that's in you than Satan who's in the world. You have power over Satan, and you have power over the situation through Jesus Christ. So open that line of communication and destroy Satan's plan to keep us separated. Forgive one another, love one another, as God has commanded us to do. And John 4:7-12 says, let us love one another for the love of God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be our propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfect in us. Well, John comes right to the point, doesn't he? God did not give us a different kind of love or separate from what He has for us. On the contrary, He gave us the same love that He loves all of mankind. Jesus expects us to love one another the same way He loved us. Jesus was a servant on earth. He met the needs of others. He healed the sick, raised the dead, opened the blind eyes, made the deaf to hear, fed the hungry, and calmed the storm. He did all this because He loves us. He did not stop there. Look at what He did when Peter cut off the Sanhedrin's ear. Jesus showed mercy and love towards that man and healed his ear, even though he was there to take Jesus to be crucified. While Jesus was nailed on the cross, He served the people. You may say, well, how did He do that? When the thieves were hanging on the cross, found in Luke, you'll find it in Luke 23, verses 39 to 43. One of the things mocked Jesus and said, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other thief defended Jesus and rebuked the other thief. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus told the thief who defended him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus forgives the thief, but he also forgave those involved, put him on the cross, and those who drove the nails into his hand, even those who mocked him, who spit upon him, cursed him. In verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This kind of love God expects us to use in our daily lives. This kind of love God has given to those who serve him, and he expects us to cultivate it, that love. Keep that love watered and fed. Exercise that love and help it to grow strong. You must use that love God has given you towards others as you do toward yourself. Every one of us loves ourselves in some form or another. We feed our bodies, we clothe our bodies, we exercise our bodies, we shelter our bodies. When we are sick, we seek medication or medical attention. We forgive ourselves for things that we have done and are ashamed of doing. But we need to be forgiving others, because that's all part of love. Remember, we read back in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, we read, "Not proud, rude, or selfish, not easily angered, and keeps no record of wrongs." When you don't keep a record of wrongs, you've forgiven that person. And you're not supposed to keep any wrongdoing record. Someone does you wrong, forget it. Don't keep record of it. Love that person as Christ loves you and loved the world. Christ showed us how to love, and that is how we are to love. Matthew 22:37-39. And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus gave us that commandment. Those are his words. Love is one of the most powerful words in the world. Everyone in the world would use and exercise this love. We would never see war. Our prisons would be empty. No one would be hungry or homeless. The hospitals would never be filled. Why? Because this kind of love is from God himself and not the world. So how can I obtain this kind of love? In 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Confess to who? A priest? No. You are to confess your sins to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to God our Father. It's the only way that you're going to make it to heaven. And you're not going to make it through Buddha. You're not going to make it through a priest. You're not going to make it to heaven through any other religion or any other false god. The only way you're going to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, by confessing your sins to him and asking him to forgive you. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Did you notice that word "love" in verse 16? For God so loved the world. All you have to do is pray where you are. Confess to Jesus that you are a sinner and ask him to forgive you of your sin. Tell Jesus you want his kind of love in your life. You want to love your family and all those around you the way he loves. Watch what happens when you do. And Christians, if you're not loving the way Christ wants us to love, because as a Christian, you are to love everyone. The hatred and his bickering and all of this is from Satan. Don't give Satan an inch. Don't give him a fraction of an inch. Don't allow him to come in and destroy your marriage, your friendships with others, your family, brothers and sisters. Don't allow it to happen. Seek God and his love and exercise that love that he has given you. The only way it's going to grow is if you exercise. You feed it and you exercise it. My name is Ron Allen.